You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm, Joe Jurevicius, and the kid in the Dog Bowl. And Bria, we're going to take a look at the Browns wide receivers now. The Browns wide receiving core this season, a mixed bag. We'll talk about those guys. We'll take a look ahead as well in terms of what the Browns need to do at the wide receiver position. Here are the facts. Andrew Hawkins led the team with 63 catches, 825 yards. Taylor Gabriel, 37 catches, 629 yards and a touchdown. Money Miles Austin, 47, 568 and 2. Travis Benjamin, 18 catches, 314 yards and 3 touchdowns. Josh Gordon, 303 yards and no touchdowns for the Browns on 24 catches. Now, a couple just advanced stats for you. Only one receiver on the Browns caught more than 56% of his targets. That was Miles Austin, who led the team with a 65% catch rate. The lowest catch rate on the team belonged to Travis Benjamin. Only 39% of his targets were converted into catches. Gabriel and Gordon both at 51%, and Andrew Hawkins checked in at 56%. Yards per target leaders, Miles Austin was, again, the leader at 8.6. I'm sorry, Taylor Gabriel was the leader at 8.6. Austin, 7.9. Hawkins, 7.4. Benjamin, 6.8. And Josh Gordon, dead last, 6.4 yards per target. So of all the receivers on the team, they averaged gaining more yards when they went to anybody other than Josh Gordon. Obviously, the Browns dead last in the NFL in terms of passing touchdowns this season. No receiver on the team had more than three scores on the year. The wide receivers for the Browns, let's be honest, they struggled. Yards by wide receivers, the Browns had 2,630. Touchdown by wide receivers, they had 8, tied for 30th. In the NFL. So it was a position that didn't do a ton. Now, the yards were pretty good. They're actually 11th in the NFL, but no one dominant receiver, no consistent production. Let's go through now, and we'll start with you, Joe, since you played the position. What was your evaluation of these wide receivers, and you can grade those guys that we listed?
I got to be honest with you. I think ever since we lost Miles Austin at that point in the season, that it really kind of was detrimental to our receiving core, because not only did we lose the wily veteran, we lost a guy that was consistent for the most part on his third down receptions, kept the chains moving, and to be honest, he was the security blanket for Hoyer in the season. With Miles Austin, I just think our play would have been a lot better if we kept him on. Obviously, you got Josh Gordon out there. Josh, to me, it's just a really sad story, because I think he's a guy that, with all the talent he has, I think he's detrimental to a team. I thought he was going to come out a lot hungrier than what we did see, to be able to play games from the first play all the way through the last game after missing 10 games. I think that's just kind of shows you the makeup he had. I thought with Gabriel, again, he had some good catches throughout the year, but he's a really, really small receiver. Travis Benjamin, we go through there, obviously a speed guy. But, the catching could be an issue. I mean, it was an issue. We have a guy that could flat out fly, but I think his size alone, yes, he can fly, but I think he's a really fragile guy. When I got to meet him earlier in the year in person, he's a really, really skinny, fast receiver. So I think that's really detrimental to him, because I think he get broken up, you take a few good shots.
And from week 10 on last year, Travis Benjamin had exactly 4 catches on his final. This is pretty wild. On his final 17 targets.
Right.
So as the season went on, he kind of disappeared from the Browns passing game. Three of his touchdowns came in the first 4 games.
Right. And, and those were some great touchdowns there, too. And then the other thing, you got Hawkins. And I think Hawkins, for his size and stature, did a really good job. He became really comfortable. He made a lot of catches throughout the year, kept the chains moving sometimes. And what I really liked for his size, he was a guy that could take hits. He could take some hits, and I was really impressed with the toughness that he showed out there on the football field.
Yeah, Matt. Just to go down my grades, and I actually have grades for these guys. I think Gabriel is a guy, you got to figure you're getting him at a discount as an undrafted free agent out of a small school, exceeded expectations and filled his role, I believe, to the best of his ability. So for that reason, I give him a B. I think Miles Austin, a great addition. Myself and Nathan talked about him, Money Miles. He just converts third down, and I do believe, as Joe as you said, that losing him hurt this offense, and I think that him and Brian Hoyer had a great rapport and converted a significant amount of third downs simply by him not overly running by anybody, but just being a a great route runner, having good body control, and also, too, being a little bit more have a physical stature than anybody in this core. For that reason, he gets a B+. Hawkins, leading receiver. But I think as the season went on, he disappointed me with some drops. He didn't help Johnny Manziel at all. He didn't help Brian Hoyer at all towards the end of this football season. So I give Hawkins a B-. But I think him in the proper role within this offense and the right offensive coordinator could probably meet that same amount of receptions and be very impactful from the slot. So he gets a B-. Josh Gordon, I'm going to go with a D-.
I'm giving him an F. I should have said that earlier. I'm giving the guy an F.
You give him an F. I looked over at your page. You're giving him an F. So I'm going to give Josh Gordon an F, too. he's a game breaker when his head is on his shoulders.
And when he can play.
And when he can play, absolutely. And I think that for him, he talked a good game on what he was going to do in coming back, and he backed up none of it. And for that reason, unless he buys in just as Johnny Manziel has to this year, I wouldn't be opposed to him leaving the Cleveland Browns, because I think that we can go get a value young wide receiver to fill that role. And Benjamin, as you said, just lack of production, lack of opportunities. And a lot of what Benjamin runs is he's a speedster, so he runs a lot of deep routes. And being skinny, lanky guy, not being physical, you know, those safeties, those big physical corners are now have the ability to go up after the football just as if they're wide receivers, and he struggles with that. So I'm going to give him a C-. So overall, I think, I mean, a group with talent and exceeded expectations to a certain point, but I think all their shortcomings caught up with us as the season went on.
Kid, well, I think I'm not going to go with all the grades other than to say I had Hawk at a B, but that speech he made took him to an A+. That's beyond football. That was one of the most articulate, best speeches I've ever heard. I think in general, if we had a number one receiver, everybody else would fit better into their role. Hawkins could be that slot guy. Gabriel could be the fourth guy. Miles Austin, the third guy. We just need a number one stud, which was supposed to be Flash Gordon, which obviously him crashing and burning just killed the whole receiving corps.
So I look at this receiving corps as well, and here are my grades. Andrew Hawkins, I thought solid B. Thought he came in, did his job, led this team in receiving. He did kind of sputter as he went down the stretch, no question about that. Miles Austin, I'm going to give an A to. You bring him in here, the guy made great catches on third downs, moved the chains. He was the go-to guy, and I thought the offense really struggled. Led the team in catch rate, led the team in first down percentage. He was the best receiver for this team all year. Taylor Gabriel, pleasant surprise, is an undrafted guy, 17 yards a catch, scored the game winner against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I'll give him a B. Travis Benjamin, I'm going to give a C-, too. Started off very strong, but really wasn't an impact player as a return man and then also as a receiver, as I talked about, fizzled out down the stretch. Gordon, I'm going to give an F2 as well, suspended for the last game. You know, 300 yards in five games with no touchdowns, not an impact player, lowest yards per target on the team, and was an off-the-field distraction once again. When you look at this group going forward, you're going to look back at this draft when all those rookies were drafted that had such great impacts at the receiver position, and you're going to say you would have liked the Browns to get in on that pool, I think, ultimately, as you see it play out. Because right now, Miles Austin's an unrestricted free agent. He's kind of at the end of his career. He's at his best, kind of that poor man's number two receiver. I don't think Josh Gordon is going to be here. I think that whether it be a trade, a release, something, I hope they don't release him, but hopefully they can find a trade partner for Josh Gordon. Then you get to Andrew Hawkins, 5'7", a buck 75. Taylor Gabriel, 5'8", a buck 76. And Travis Benjamin, who checks in at 5'10", a buck 72. So you're talking about three small receivers, no real number one. Marlon Moore plays receiver for this team, but he's more of a special teams guy. Yes. Didn't see a target all year. Rodney Smith has size, but didn't really get to play. Didn't see a target all year, other than the interception at the end from Connor Shaw. This team in this draft or this offseason needs to address this position, and I think it could be both. I think you'd have an opportunity to go out and maybe get a guy like Torrey Smith, who could be a number one outside receiver for you, stretch the field, free agent from Baltimore, and then come back and draft a guy like Kevin White from West Virginia. He could fit right in. Devontae Parker from Louisville. I think you do want to bring in that talent. I know that it doesn't seem to be the philosophy of this team that a wide receiver is a massive part. They do want to run the ball, but I think it helps, and I think it would help this offense. Ray Farmer on December 30th said he's not so big. He's a big believer. It's a team sport. Saw that earlier this year. Said we're missing key components that were high-value targets, but we played football. As a result of that, we have to be able to have success. And he talked also about how, you know, wide receivers touch the ball maybe 10 times or a factor on 10 plays. I think they're factors on every play. They can be a factor with a blocking, as you know. You can be a factor in what you do to coverage, taking guys out of the box. I hope that the Browns do address this position in a combination of free agency and the draft.
Where is that guy Hardy from East Carolina looking to be drafted?
I think you could get him in the middle rounds, early middle rounds.
I think a guy like that, I just think that there's too many good receivers out there. And, yeah, they could have addressed it last year, but this year it's loaded. It's going to continue to be a loaded position in the draft because skill players don't want to be running backs anymore, so they're going to either be DBs or receivers because running backs are so devalued from just a dollars and cents standpoint. Any smart kid growing up is not going to want to be a running back anymore. So I'm not so worried. I like Ray Farmer's philosophy. Give me more linemen. Give me a good front seven, and let's go in that direction.
I concur, and I think whoever were to come here in free agency at the quarterback position or be drafted will want weapons, will want that guy to be able to rely on and not have to figure things out or create like a makeshift offense, which I believe in some cases we did. We played to the strengths of Brian Hoyer, but we're going to have to play to the strengths of whoever we acquire or who we draft. And in doing so, that gentleman has to be able to stand in the pocket and make accurate throws to wide receivers down the football field.
You know, the other side of this whole thing, you know, listen, I can, if that's what he feels, but if that's what he felt and that's what we had this year, I think it showed. I mean, I think we played as we didn't really care too much about the receiver position. We had a lot of small guys. And this is where I would beg to differ with his philosophy, because I know when you have a receiver that's willing to go out there and crack back on linebackers, on safeties, on cornerbacks, and manhandle them, and maybe only get his 10 passes a game, I could promise you that running back getting to the second level is really going to like himself a receiver. But when you have a smaller receiver who can get manhandled by the bigger safeties and the bigger cornerbacks playing, that's where I beg to differ. I'd like to see them go out there and grab a couple studs for one reason. It's going to help your receiving game if they do their homework and find a guy with the right attitude.
When you look at a team that does in some way seem to devalue the position, what do you think about it from your time in the NFL, the success you've seen? Don't you think, and when you look at this roster, don't you think that's a position that severely needs to be upgraded?
There's no question about it. I mean, we need home run hitters. We need to put points on the board. We need a guy.
Randall Cobb will be a free agent, right, but I think he might be pricey.
Right. There's going to be all kinds of things that come up here in the offseason through trades and free agency and obviously the draft. But I think when you're able to find a receiver that can kind of do everything and lead by example, take the bull by the horns, and you know you got a guy that's going to show up. You know, I always talk about the Keenan McCardles. Keenan wasn't the biggest guy in the world, but Keenan McCardle was going to get after it. He was going to coach up his fellow receivers. He was a pro. Keyshawn Johnson, no matter, you know, the bad stuff that was
personal
out there.
Personal favorite of mine. Love,
right,
Keyshawn.
But Keyshawn would go out there and butt heads with anybody, and he would catch the ball over the middle. So I would tell
Meeshawn.
Meeshawn. But listen, but the guy's still blocked. I mean, that guy did some things out there that, you know, he doesn't get credit for. He was one of the best blockers, and that's why I like that.
I also think a shift away from Kyle Shanahan, I feel like he could have thought that way as well, because in Washington, they had Garcon, who is not really a true number one, but they didn't really have receivers, and he was fine with that. I mean, Santana Moss was their number one receiver for three of the years that he was the offensive coordinator there. If you were to bring in, let's say, a Bill Callahan who sees the impact that Adez and Terrence Williams have on their ground game, I think he's going to want bigger receivers to get down the field.
I don't think that Ray is saying that receivers aren't valuable. I think what he's saying is high pick receivers aren't valuable. And with his scouting acumen, I believe he'll find us a big stud receiver. It just isn't going to be at the top of the first round.
I agree with that. And I think also, too, is you have to understand that if you're an offensive coordinator wanting to come to Cleveland, you're going to want to have a voice that's going to be heard. You know, you don't want a voice that's going to fall on deaf ears simply because your general manager has a plan. You know, you can't be so rigid in his thinking. And that's a lot of the reason why. You know, you look at Dallas, you look at the other the groups and the hierarchies that they have within their organization. These coaches who work with these gentlemen, you just can't hand them and say, hey, he doesn't fit your scheme, but he's a great talent. Here you go. Hey, he's never run in the zone scheme. Here you go. You want to draft guys to fit us.
Right.
And I think our offensive coordinator, whoever it is that we hire, has to have input on the quarterback that we bring here to be. If we get a coach to be here the next 3 to 5 years, you want a quarterback to be the guy right along with him, because I think it really betters the Cleveland Browns.
I'm going to disagree with that, because I think when you look at how often, for example, if going down that road, let's say that Kyle Shanahan had maybe more influence on personnel decisions than he should, and now he's gone. So I think you need to go with the talent evaluators to bring in the best talent, and then the coaches have to coach them. I mean, you've got to fit scheme. That's important.
Sure.
But I think you got to go out and get the best players, period.
And I also think a combination is you got to get the offensive coordinator that fits what you're doing. It may not be the sexiest guy, but it might be a guy that fits. For instance, Urban Meyer, I read an article, what he said when he brings in, and I think you'll see it next year with your offensive coordinator leaving, he brings in guys and they coach his system. I think that that's important, because then there's more continuity. So if your next offensive coordinator isn't going to be teaching a new system, he's teaching Urban's system. The next offensive coordinator here has to come in, and Pett's system seems to be power running game, don't lose the game, we're going to have a dominant defense. So whoever comes in, and that's why I think Callahan might fit the best with that type of scheme, has to fit that. And so, yeah, they have to have some input, but they also have to fit what we're trying to do here.
Of course, absolutely, and I agree with that 100%. I'm just saying that whoever we hire, most guys, just from an egotistical standpoint, are going to want to have a say,
sure,
are going to want to have a voice in that room, whether it falls on deaf ears or not, that I don't know. You know, but I'm just saying the good teams, you know, the good general managers are flexible and things can change. They just can't be so it's my way or the highway, because those guys are the ones that are out of job in 3 years. And then you're onto an entirely new staff of evaluators with an entirely new direction for your organization.
I think that's true. And I think when you look at this free agent class at wide receiver, the opportunities will be there to bring in someone who is legitimate. Torrey Smith could be that big vertical threat on the outside. You'd still need a number two. But Dez Bryant, I don't think he leaves. I think they franchise him.
What about
Demaryius Thomas? Same thing. I don't think he leaves.
Fitz?
Jeremy Maclin, Larry Fitzgerald probably will be released to become
Macklin
a free agent.
Philly, though, either.
Maclin, Reggie Wayne, Wes Welker, no interest in those guys, too old. Michael Crabtree could be an interesting number two. Cecil Shorts, Hakeem Nicks, Eddie Royal, not interested. Torrey Smith, Randall Cobb, those two, obviously. Randall Cobb may be the best, one of the best receivers in the league
but
that people don't know about. But he's small.
Yeah.
You need to get a little bit more size. You need outside guys. I think
we've cornered
the market.
Yeah.
We've cornered the market on inside guys. And he played a lot in the slot. Now, he played in two receiver sets there with Jordy as well. But, no, you want to have somebody on the outside level of size that can certainly block. All right, when we come back, take a look at these playoff games, Friday forecast as well. But I think we all agree, if you're asking me right now, other than quarterback, because that's always the biggest need until you got a quarterback, the two biggest needs for this Browns team come, in my opinion, at wide receiver and on the defensive line. I think those are the two biggest needs headed into this offseason for the Cleveland Browns. All right, I'll be back with the Friday forecast, wrapping this up right after this on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.